Alrighty then, we shall have a service. Open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth, worship you in freedom. We honor you, we honor our vets by gathering together. You said, forsake not the gathering of the brethren in your Bible. We take that seriously. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that teaches us and guides us and shows us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. You've given us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and we gladly accept that so that we can look into your word and learn from it and operate in your kingdom the way you want us to. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're back to the creative love-giving adventure. Now, this is I'm going to show you the pivotal point here. It'll help you keep guilt and condemnation away, help you keep your heart right. Because remember, we have to receive from Him first, so we have something to give. Amen? Don't get turned around and think you're going to give something to get. You know, you're not going to twist His arm into giving you something. You receive from Him so that you can give to them. Amen? There's too much preaching that gets it the other way around. You know, like you're going to earn something from God. Like you're going to deserve something from God. Always remember this. If it ever gets any little bit confusing, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let's go there real quick. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians. Did I do that right? No, I didn't do that right. First Corinthians. I'm sorry. Is it First? I've got my numbers mixed up here. Huh? Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Yeah. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That verse right there is one of the most important verses you're ever going to come to understand in the Bible. Because the whole Bible, all the way through, is a conquest between God and man about being in right standing with God. That's what righteousness means, being in right standing with God. In the beginning, when Adam was in the garden, he was in right standing with God. He sinned, he was no longer in right standing with God. Abraham cut a covenant with God, he was in right standing with God. Amen. The children picked up the law. The children of Israel picked up the law. If they fulfilled the law, they were in right standing with God. They never fulfilled the law. So they had to do animal sacrifices. That shedding of blood caused them to be in right standing with God. There was no man ever able to fulfill the law except for Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the law, shed His blood for us. When we got born again, we got made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Take that religious word out of the way and put, because Jesus died on the cross and saved me, He put me in right standing with God. Now your blessings, Your blessings are dependent on what Jesus did. And we've been told in the Bible to believe on Him. Amen? So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he that sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So now there's four things that a man must do in giving. Here's the thing. Give willingly from the heart. You can look at it like this way. Because God so freely gave to me, I can freely give to them. Amen? Don't give grudgingly. Don't, you know, too many times people think, man, I've got to do this. The curse might get me. The devil. Somebody might. If I don't do this, something's going to happen. So I'll just do it out of obedience. And that plate will go by and they'll say, well, there goes, we ain't having pancakes. You're not going to be having pancakes this week for breakfast. There goes the pancake. There goes the rent money. See, what's going on is they're trying to earn something from God. They're not receiving and then freely giving. Now, there is a thing we're going to show you here. When you give, it does come back, and you can expect that to come back bountifully. Huh? But have your heart right. Receive so you can give. The next thing is, do not give of compulsion. In this era that we live in, we've got access to preachers all over the place. We've got preachers on TV, we got tapes, we got preachers on everything else. And I know you've heard this before. The preachers will get on there and they'll sound really cool, it'll be good. And they'll say, I've been praying and I've been fasting. And if we don't come up with so many dollars, we're not going to be on TV. I'm telling you, brother, you sow into this ministry today, you're going to drive off in a new Cadillac. Set on your wallet. I don't know why some of them don't just put on a funny hat and a patch over their eye and go ahead and call themselves pirates. They're playing on people's emotions. They're pulpiteers. Don't fall for it. Do not fall for emotionalism. It's okay to get caught up in the spirit. That's fun and it's wonderful. But here's what you need to do. You need to go back to this verse. Right here. Verse 7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. This is the best thing. Get off by yourself. Spend some time alone with God and in the Word. Ask Him how much He would have you give. Who He would have you give it to. You know, when He would have you give it. You know, He'll be very specific with you. You can be specific with Him and He'll be specific with you. Just ask Him. Say, is this something that you want me to be involved in? If you don't get the green light, don't go. Well, too often people get, I've heard so many stories of people giving big amounts of money for them. They'll get caught up in the wave and the emotionalism, and the preacher will be really pumping their emotions up and really getting them up in the heat of things and getting carried away, and they'll give massive amounts of money, and they'll be expecting, they'll be ready, and they'll be going, and nothing happens. And then they'll say, you know, yeah, I know all about that stuff. I gave into this ministry and nothing happened. My friend gave this much money to this ministry and nothing happened. My parents gave all their money into the ministry. They gave thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and nothing happened. Why? Get your heart right. Receive from God so you can give. But look, don't do it like you're going to twist his arm. My friend called me one day, and he was kind of down. And I said, well, what's going on? We were visiting, and this guy, I've had a pretty good relationship with this guy for a long time. He called me, and he said, I stopped tithing. And I said, that's probably a good thing. He said, what? I said, that's probably a good thing. He said, well, I've been tithing for so many years, and I just keep going down and down and down and down and down. So I'm just getting broker and broker and broker. I said, yeah, probably need to stop. He said, I've always been able to twist his. I said, you probably need to stop. He said, what are you getting at? I said, you need to start receiving. I said, you're in a spot where you need to receive from him so that you have something to give. Amen. You're not going to earn anything from God. You are not going to deserve anything from God. You are not going to twist his arm into giving you something. Your righteousness is of him. It's wrapped up in Jesus. He's already freely given you all things. Now your job is to first receive. I imagine if this place was full of modern day Word of Faith preachers, their heads would be spinning today. They might call me the Antichrist. I don't know, man. They might throw rocks at me. But listen, either the cross made all the difference or it didn't do anything at all. See, Mary and Martha, they were in the house and Jesus showed up at their house, and you know, one of them was busy, man. She seen that Jesus was tired. He had been on a long trip. And she went about serving him. She went about helping Jesus out, making sure he had everything he needed, making sure he had all this stuff. And then she got put out with her sister and said, look at her. She's just sitting at your feet. Ain't you going to tell her to get up and help me do this work for you? And Jesus said, she chose the best part. She was letting him minister to her, and that fed him. Isn't that cool? Jesus came to serve and not to be served, but too many times we get it backwards. We need to receive from Him so that we can have something to give to them. Amen? Receive first and then give. Take the pressure off yourself. Amen? And let God be God. Let Him be your God. Let Jesus be your good shepherd. He has already freely given you all things. What are you doing trying to give to earn a reward? Receive so you got something to give. Now, the next thing we've got to do is give cheerfully. This is where stopping and checking in with God and asking Him where He would have you give, how much He'd have you give, when to give. See, when you get a green light from God on what to do and how to do it, it'll make you happy. You'll have joy in your heart because you'll know that you're hitting the mark. Amen? You're not just giving because you're supposed to. You're not just giving because you think you have to. You're not just giving to get. You're giving because, hey, God has an assignment for you. You know, I wasn't very good at getting people born again. And I was struggling along that line. I was trying to figure out how to witness to people. And I found out that if I gave into these ministries, they'd take that money and they'd get them down the road and they were evangelizing these places and they were getting people born again. When I found out that I got to take part in that reward, that, you know, I was part in that soul saving, and God said, this is where you give. All right, man. That got me involved in the kingdom long enough for me to figure out how to witness to people. So then I thought, that was cool. Then I had joy in my heart. One day I was skipping up to the church, and I was about ready to pop. I mean, I had a pocket full of money, and I was going. And this friend of mine, he said, why are you so happy? He said, you haven't gotten to church yet. I was heading for that offering plate. I knew that I was going to get to take part in the kingdom and that there was going to be souls getting born again as a result of that. I was happy. Be a cheerful giver. Now, let's go to verse 8 and we'll hit a home run on these next two verses. Get the first two verses down. Verse 8 says, God is able to make all grace. There's the word we want. Circle this verse right here. Underline that word. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He is dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. Okay. Man. You checked in with God. You asked Him where to give, how much. He told you. Now you can give boldly. And you know that He's going to cause all grace to abound toward you. One time, a lady with a wonderful heart, she was explaining to me about the scriptures, about giving and tithing and all this stuff. And she said, you'll get 100-fold return. And I said, would you just stop for just a second? She said, yeah, why? I said, why would you limit God to 100-fold return? Well, see, I was treading on thin ice because I was messing with the Holy Grail right there. Well, everybody's been taught. I said, now, why would you limit God to 100-fold return? Don't mess with the 100-fold return in the Word of Faith circle. I said, well, you're talking about giving and all this stuff and you earning and stuff. I'm talking, God said He'd open up the windows of heaven on you and pour out a blessing so much on you that you can't take it all in. That's as far as your efforts are going anyway. But why don't you just jump over here onto this side of the cross and accept this verse that Jesus has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. All things. Why don't you start receiving instead of trying to earn it? I thought she was going to try to cast the devil out of me. The conversation was over. But really, seriously, folks, we can make this just as hard on ourselves as we want to, or we can get in this position of grace and let God make it just as wonderful as we can imagine. Amen? If this is not true for all believers, then we're coming short of the gospel provision. See, such grace is measured out according to Solon in verse 6, but this is no exception to the rule. This is the cause of failure to reap. It's proven in verses 9 and 10. Put yourself in the grace part of things, and then sow, and that'll come back to you. But always remember that you're sowing because you first got seed to sow. Amen. Almost every time, people will take me to Abraham. And they'll say, well, Abraham, he started out a tithe. He gave a tithe. Yes, he did. Certainly did. But did you know that God made him very wealthy before he ever gave a tithe? This makes people mad. But look, the word will burn your flesh. Abraham was very wealthy before he ever gave a tithe. And God did not institute the tithe at that spot. Abraham just did that. He said, that king said, you do this. And he said, no, I lift my hand to God. He had a covenant with God. He said, I'm not going to let anybody say that you made me rich. It's God made me rich. Amen. Have your heart right towards God. This is a fight. I mean, this is one of the biggest fights I ever had in my life. Getting untrained from works and getting under grace where I was supposed to be. I listened to all the famous preachers. And I noticed, I was fighting along this line. And there was one book that most of these guys never would mention, Kenneth Hagin wrote. Kenneth Hagin wrote this one book. And he got on these Word of Faith preachers and he said, you knock that off, you get the people back under grace. They don't ever talk about that. They don't talk about that. That's where the Bible wants you, under grace. You stay under grace. You are saved by grace. You live by grace. And you operate by grace. Amen? Huh? You stay on this side of the cross. Let God be God to you. Let Him be your Lord. Look at verse 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, get a hold of this. He that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. See, we can't read that verse backwards. He ministers the seed to you so that you have something to sow. Not backwards. You don't sow so that he can minister seed to you so that you can sow. He ministers seed to you first so that you can sow. And he also feeds you. See, that takes away the pressure. He's going to take care of the bread for you to eat when you give. He's not going to let you starve. Look at verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. This isn't talking just about money. He's talking about when you got a liberal soul going on, a liberal mindset going on, money's the baser things. That's one of the minor things in the spirit. And the church has made a major out of that. The church should have been making a major out of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Here's one thing I've noticed about giving to poor people. It gives you an open door. They'll visit with you. You take them some food, they'll visit with you. They'll visit with you. You know, you can get them born again when they talk to you sometimes. You can get them born again. Also, the gifts of the Spirit seem to be a little more apt to flow through somebody who's already given in the minor things. You know, go ahead and loosen up a little bit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit operate through you too. Don't ever get confused. Simon the sorcerer. People were getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he seen that and he thought, oh wow, I can cash in on that. Paul said, no, your heart's not right. You go get things right, but you're not going to get those. No, you're not. Don't go into this thing thinking you're going to cash in on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Don't go in there thinking you can cash in. Go in there thinking you're going to set people free. You're going to be part of the kingdom. You're going to help people with the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. Amen. But to every good work does not refer only to good works to the poor, but also to miraculous works of the gospel. For it is every good work, not just certain one. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So there's three commands in this verse that will bring victory. Number one, be steadfast. Be seated. Be settled and firm in the truth of the resurrection and the victory of Christ. Don't be wishy-washy. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Let nothing shake your faith or move you away from the hope of the gospel. A lot of people have been shaken lately. A lot of people have been shaken lately. And they need more than ever before. They needed to see the church standing solid. They needed to see Christians standing solid. They needed to see the church reaching out to them and saying, hey, look, fear not. Jesus has this handled. Unfortunately, what had happened, you notice the difference now between when 9/11 happened, the churches were full. The devil, you know, he will learn sometime on some things. This time, when there was an emergency, he had them close the churches. And the churches fell for it. The people hid in their homes. Sometimes they just don't know the difference between God and the devil. They should have known exactly this was the devil's work. I said, don't close the churches. You're shutting the people away from the answer. But then the people let them because they didn't understand that they had certain liberties that were protected by the Constitution. Now they're starting to wake up after they spent 2 weeks in the... Now they're starting to wake up. And they're starting to come out and say, no, this is wrong. You should know this automatically. No, you're not stopping me from going to church. No, you're not stopping me from going outside. No, you're not stopping me from making a living. You need to understand that this nation rests on a pedestal that stands on three legs. One of those legs is the Bible. One of those legs is the Constitution. And one of those legs is a rifle. If you lose any one of those legs, you're going to lose all three of them. Don't ever let anybody chip away at your freedom in any way, shape, or form. If it gets eroded in one area, it'll erode in all areas. You also need to stand fast in your liberty, but you need to stand fast in the liberty of others too. Don't let anybody chip away at somebody else's freedom. In any area. Amen. The next thing is always abound in the work of the Lord. Knowing this, that what you do will be rewarded. Your labor is not in vain. He's going to watch. God, he doesn't ever sleep. He never sleeps nor slumbers. He knows exactly when you do what you do. Amen? And he causes that seed to be multiplied back to you. Even to the smallest of gifts. See, this is where it's good. You don't have to come in here and give $1,000. You don't have to go anywhere and give $1,000. But God can impress it on your heart to go over to your neighbor's house and give them a flower. Then go do it. But it's such a small thing. You know, I got a praise report. A couple we did the sidewalk for. I call them periodically and check on them and see how they're doing. And she called me and said, you just look out my window and you see the most beautiful thing in the world. She's, we love that sidewalk. Thank you. Thank you so much for that sidewalk. We love that sidewalk. It's a sidewalk. 2 yards of concrete. In some people's eyes, it's not a big thing. But when you're missing a leg and you're on a walker, and you're very clumsy, and you can't hardly get around, and you've been stumbling up a dirt path, and all of a sudden you got a sidewalk that's going to have a handrail on it, hallelujah, man. Hallelujah. Sometimes what we take is whatever is a huge thing to some people. Sometimes a flower, we bought a lady a flower the other day. Matter of fact, we were going in there, we were going to buy one of those particular flowers. And this lady was just ahead of us. We went to the same flowers at the same time. Got up there, and what were they, like $40? I said, ah, man, we don't need one of those flowers. And she said, man, I really wanted one of those. My husband is not going to have me buying $40 flowers. So she started walking away, and God said, you do it. Man, I just want to buy you a flower just to bless you. She said, you're kidding me. No. No. I want you to have this flower. She was so happy. She was so happy. What happened? Brought joy in the midst of panic. Somebody got some relief. I know that she's going to love that flower. She loved it when she got it. She still loves that flower. Amen? What happened? We just brought peace, joy, and it was just on our day-to-day, we were just going through our day-to-day rituals, just going around doing whatever we do. You can do that too. Amen? You'll see people. You'll see people in the community. They'll have wrinkled foreheads, you know, and they'll be going about, and they'll be stressed, and they'll be tight, and they'll be nervous. Go up there and say, you know, I just want to encourage you with a prayer. 99 times out of 100, they're not going to hit you. But don't be afraid of that one. Go out there and pray for them anyway. One time in this place of business that I worked at, there was a lady that used to come in there that was 100% mean. I thought she was, oh boy, she was mean. Woo! I'm serious. She was mean. And I was trying to help her, and I struggled through it, and then finally I thought, whoo. Then I got done. So then the next time she come on, I told my boss, I said, you got this one. I threw him to the wolves. He went and helped her, and he come back, and he said, holy cow, what was that about? I did my tour duty. So she come in a few days later, and she come up there. She was mean. She had that mean look on her face, and things weren't right, and she was heading to the counter, and she got up there, and I said, you know, I believe God wants me to pray for you. And I just reached out and grabbed her by the shoulder and started praying for her. You see her whole face change. Her whole complexion changed. Her shoulders relaxed. Her body relaxed. And she looked at me like, what on earth are you doing? Praying for me. Standing next to a Satanist. Serious. The guy next to her was an old Kevin guy. And I prayed for her. From that day forward, she was nothing but sweet to me. Pray for people. Encourage people. Help people. We're in a trying, trying time. And it's natural for people to want to set on their pocketbooks. And the world is telling them to stay to themselves. Isolate. Stay 6 foot apart. Wear masks. Lose your identity. Stay away from people. Jesus is saying, get up off your butt and get out there and help somebody and pray for somebody and bless somebody and be the church that I bought and paid with my blood for. I just can't even express to you how wonderful a feeling it gives you in your heart when you bring relief to somebody and they're thankful and they say, oh man, so thank you. I don't know what to say. It'll bring peace into your soul. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus has done for us. As we get ready to take communion, I need a couple of volunteers. As we get ready to take communion, we're mindful of what Jesus truly did for us on his cross, in his death and his burial and his resurrection. Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. Not only did he give his life, but he was beaten horribly and he was whipped. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. His body was broken. Everything about him was shattered so that we can be whole. We're taking this for our healing and our well-being. This is our protection from diseases. We thank you for it. Jesus shed his blood all over the place. And not only did that blood wash away our sins, it put us in right standing with God. And it's a forever righteousness. It's not a here today righteousness and gone tomorrow righteousness. It's not a righteousness that goes away when you make a mistake. It's a righteousness that is according to the order of Melchizedek, because Jesus is of the order of Melchizedek, and as our high priest, it's a righteousness that only gives. It's a high priesthood that only gives. The priesthood of Aaron gave and took. But that faded away. Jesus, our high priest, is of the order of Melchizedek that only gives. And he gives his life, his healing, his wholeness, his protection and safety as our good shepherd. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we have coffee and snacks back here in fellowship. Everybody's welcome to stay. Rest of y'all be thinking about what you're going to cook for Mother's Day.